morning. It's a great privilege to be here. I'm Ken Boonstra, for those of you who don't know me. I live across the line in Bellingham, though I lived for about 22 years or so in Canada, in Ontario, and here. And I thank you just for the opportunity to worship with you today. And I promise you, I won't charge any tariffs for my sermon. Our family are dual citizens, and some days, well, let's just say it's nice to be here with you today. I'm grateful that our bond in Christ is stronger than any border or boundary or unfriendly decision. And this Easter Sunday is a really great day to celebrate the life we have in Jesus, a life that offers us hope no matter what. Our scripture today is from Luke 24, and I'll begin reading at verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." We have a new president in the United States, just like you have a new prime minister in Canada. Want to trade? We'll even throw in Florida. Yeah, life is strange south of the border. Everything's in flux. Our nations used to be friends, and now you don't even know what to do with the U.S. The border looms larger than it ever has. Everything's changed. Luke's gospel brings us along two people making their way to Emmaus. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. It wasn't the same world anymore. Everything has changed. They were on their road to Emmaus in a strange post-crucifixion world. Disappointment sent them to Emmaus. Hopes were crushed. The ending seemed surreal. Jesus died on a cross. How foolish these two felt. "We had hoped," they said. Two followers off to Emmaus. I mean, why Emmaus? Maybe because it's not Jerusalem. It's not the place where he led people to believe. It's far from the place where hopes for a new world were crushed. He was going to be the one. Remember? He preached his first sermon with power. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." In the early days, everything looked good. He brought healings, cast out demons. His sermons came alive. "Sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." He changed people's lives. People had never seen anyone like him. He stood up to the self-righteous. He spoke with authority to set the oppressed free. His prophetic words stirred imaginations. People were captivated. Minds and hearts dreamt of a world free from oppression. People believed God's day was coming. Jesus, God's servant, would lead the revolution. Except then came Jerusalem. And there was no rebellion. Just a midnight arrest in Gethsemane, a cross looming ahead. Judas got 30 pieces of silver for his betrayer's lies. Tired of waiting for the revolution to start, he handed Jesus over to the religious leaders. The Sanhedrin questioned Jesus all night long. Even the high priest got in on it. I mean, he was a threat to their religious power. And they carted him off to Pilate. Pilate declared him innocent. But the crowd was unrelenting, so Pilate handed him over for crucifixion, because that's what Rome does. Rome could crucify anyone they wanted to. And all the disciples, except the women, were gone. Even Peter, bold Peter, couldn't stand to watch his Messiah shamefully hung on a cross. Jerusalem. I mean, what did he once say? "They'll say to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us." Well, just as well that they were all buried. We had hoped, believed that throwing our lot with him would make life better. I mean, how foolish. Doubts rise, dreams get smashed. I mean, it's easy to believe in the beginning, but then life happens. And belief hangs on by a thread. Now the thing we want most is to get out of town for the weekend. Forget the troubles. Go camping. Visit family. Go anywhere. Anything to escape the unfulfilled dreams. We had hoped. I mean, disappointment can make you feel like a fool. Fools traveling on a road to who knows where. Fools just wandering whatever path lies before us. We had hoped. And now we just pretend like we're going somewhere, like Emmaus. And when Jesus shows up, the two didn't even recognize him. Figure it's just another traveler, another guy looking for companionship on the lonely road. Easter walked right up to them, but they couldn't see it. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. A friend of mine was walking her dogs in the park, and usually when she walks, she picks up the garbage other people throw on the ground. I mean, she can't stand the mess. She wants to keep the park clean. One Saturday after Good Friday, she was in the park with her dogs. And there was all kinds of garbage on the ground. People had some kind of party or something and didn't pick up candy wrappers. There were these plastic bottles of bubble-blowing stuff. And so she picked it up. I mean, what a mess some people will make. Even little toys were like strewn on the ground. And then she paused. She thought, there's way too much stuff here. And you know, most of these bottles are full. And most of the wrappers, they still had candy in them. And then it hit her. It wasn't garbage. She stumbled onto Easter. She stumbled onto someone's soon-to-be Easter party. Sometimes Easter's right in front of our face and we don't see it. Two disciples are face-to-face with Jesus and they don't know it's him. I mean, Jesus had made a big deal about rising on the third day, but here it was the third day and he's nowhere to be found. Some women had gone to the tomb early that morning. They talked about an angel rolling the stone away, the tomb being empty. Nonsense. These Emmaus Road disciples saw nothing. They weren't convinced of Easter. Instead, they talk about what happened in Jerusalem. "What things?" asked the stranger. I mean, how could anyone have missed it? "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." And they crucified him. Jesus of Nazareth, nailed to a cross. He died and was buried. Their hopes were gone. Sure, the rumors of an empty tomb were being tossed around, but no one saw Jesus. How ironic. Here's Jesus right in front of them, and they don't recognize him. Of course, some of us are there. We have our doubts. We're on the road of skepticism. I mean, what good is Easter in our world? You think Easter will help Ukraine deal with Russia's brutality? Will Easter put an end to viral outbreaks or a measles epidemic? Is Easter going to end homelessness, feed the hungry, bring justice to the streets, end addiction? The two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, treat resurrection like nothing more than a rumor. And who believes rumors? Dead is dead. I mean, we've never seen a resurrected person. I mean, we could just as well say the Easter Bunny's real. Easter might be right in front of us, and we never see it. Well, look what Jesus does. He makes a dusty pulpit in that road to Emmaus, and he preaches. He takes these wanderers right back to the beginning and explains everything. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You want to see what Jesus is like in a world like ours? You want to know what Jesus is all about? Then listen. You need to know the Word if you want to see the Word made flesh. And he explained what to look for. Jesus brings them back to a very basic principle. You gotta know what you're looking for. Karl Barth, the famous 20th century theologian, was on a streetcar in Basel, Switzerland. A man climbed on and happened to sit right next to Barth. Barth asked him if he was new to the city. The man said he was a tourist and he was here to see the city. They talked about the sights to see, and then Karl Barth wondered about what the man would most like to see. And the tourist replied, "Well, you see, I'm kind of a religious geek, and I'd really like to meet that famous man, Karl Barth. Do you know him?" Barth said, as a matter of fact, he did. He said, "I give him a shave every single morning." The tourist got off the streetcar delighted that day, told all of his friends how he had met the famous Karl Barth's barber. To see Jesus, gotta know what we're looking for. Be familiar with Jesus. See, walking on this dusty road, Jesus took these two on the Bible study of their lives. He began to teach them what the Old Testament was about. And it was all about himself. He showed how all of the promises of God pointed to him. He burned the truth of his promise and God's deliverance into their hearts. He showed them from the start how it was God's plan that his servant would suffer all these things and then enter glory. And then I like to think Jesus ended his dusty road sermon with a passage from Isaiah 61. I like to think that this sermon he preached on the road to Emmaus ended with the same text that he began his ministry with. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But I don't think that he stopped there. I think he continued on. On this day of resurrection, I think Jesus wanted to bring the message home, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Jerusalem, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. If these Emmaus Road disciples are going to see Jesus, then they need to hear God's word of promise and hope. They need to know what they're looking for. And it's the same for us. If we want to see Jesus, we need to receive his word. The story of the disciples on the way tell us that Easter and all its hope for something new comes to those who live into God's story. The Emmaus disciples saw resurrection as a problem. It didn't fit with their understanding of the world. But resurrection isn't the problem. It's the answer. Resurrection is the answer God provides. Resurrection gives hope in the midst of problems. Resurrection provides answers to our question. Jesus opens up the road of hope. Jesus sets up his dusty pulpit to make it clear who he is. See, the two on the road figured that Jesus' crucifixion was the end of the story. We had hoped, but they crucified him. And Jesus tells them an entirely different story. Jesus tells them God's story. And in God's story, crucifixion was the only way to get to hope. N.T. Wright puts it well. They, like everybody else in Jerusalem, had been reading the Bible through the wrong end of the telescope. They had been seeing it as the long story of how God would redeem Israel from suffering. But it was instead the story of how God would redeem Israel through suffering. The whole story, from beginning to end, points to the truth that God's servant Jesus would take Israel's suffering, would take the whole world's suffering onto himself, and he would die under its weight. But God raised him to life. He rose again, conquering death, beginning God's new creation. Jesus' resurrection brings new hope, new life. Jesus redeems our world's brokenness from the inside out. He turns our world on its head. See, in our world, it seems like the most vulnerable are subject to another person's lust for power. It seems like the sick never have enough to cover their medical bills. It seems like twisted facts and half-truths are the order of the day. But Jesus brings us a whole new reality. God has dealt with death and evil once and for all. And God's day is coming. And it starts with a resurrection. The day is coming when we will care enough for the earth so that it flourishes. The day is coming when no one's child will be killed in the crossfire. The day is coming when no one will be considered a stranger or unwelcome. The coming of God's new day gives us courage to fight injustice, to love our neighbors, to work for good, and to find our way to laughter. The laughter of heaven grips us when we discover that unmerited, undeserved presence of God right here, right in front of us. The resurrected Jesus shows up on our road to bring us hope, and he simply asks that we receive the word. It's true. There was death on Friday, there was a grave. On Friday, all we had was grief. But friends, there is no Easter without a grave. There's no new life wholeness without some body broken. Perhaps you are caught up on some dusty road to Emmaus, nothing but dead end in sight. Well, Jesus might just come along and your heart will burn and you will see and know him. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. A pastor friend of mine recently noted, Christians have a really strange tradition. We feast after a funeral. We believe that death is a great enemy, and yet after we have just observed the life of someone who died, someone we have dearly loved, we get together in fellowship halls to eat and laugh and tell stories. You know why? Well, we do this because Jesus has conquered that last enemy, death. My friend notes, we feast at funerals to announce to the world that death's sting has been blunted. Our loved one is not only left here, they're alive to Christ and will rise with him at the last day when death's defeat is fully realized. Jesus makes known to us new life in him by breaking bread, by sharing our table. Jesus lets us know there is life beyond Friday's suffering. And whenever we celebrate communion, whenever we share bread and cup together, we're reminded that the final word is not death, but life. Not judgment, but mercy. Not loneliness on a road going nowhere, but fellowship with other believers in his undying love. Jesus moves us forward into God's forever in the great mystery of his grace. God flavors our lives with the new life of Jesus Christ. And beyond Friday's despair, beyond the despair that can touch our lives, in Jesus Christ's resurrection, God speaks to us a word of life. Hope for our road. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Please pray with me. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in your world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly towards love and truth. And so, on this day of great gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, living and proclaiming good news. Good news in our kitchens and our living rooms. Good news in our offices and workshops. Good news in our fields and factories. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully into your kingdom. And in this world, where hopes can be broken, where dreams can be crushed, give us the eyes to see your kingdom come in the person of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in us forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Willoughby Church Sermon Podcast. The Willoughby Church Podcast Network also has podcasts about discipleship, the Heidelberg Catechism, and even a podcast hosted by some of the youth. You can find out more about the Willoughby Church Podcast Network by going to willoughbychurch.com.